Hi, this is Jack Vaughn. Today I'm with Ed Burns, and this is the Talking Data podcast for the week of April 28th. Ed has recently been working on a series about big data privacy. In a lot of ways, it could be a stumbling block to the big data juggernaut. There are a lot of gray areas that Ed's written as he's researched, and I'm going to ask him about it. Ed, let's try and set the stage. Who are the players here, and who represent the different interests?
Well, there are a lot of groups out there that are advocating for greater privacy when it comes to data collection and analysis. There's the World Privacy Forum, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, the Center for Digital Democracy, and there is some attention being paid to the issue at the federal level. Senators Edward Markey of Massachusetts and Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia have sponsored bills in the Senate that would basically clamp down on some of the data collection practices that we're seeing right now. But then on the other side, there is a lot of pushback against any new regulations from industry. Basically, a lot of people are really happy with how they're with the value that they're getting out of data collection and analysis, and it's not something that they want to give up. In one of the articles that I wrote, I quoted Mike Zanis from the Interactive Advertising Bureau, and he said they call it the digital economy for a reason. Basically, a lot of people are making a lot of money off of this, and they don't want to stop.
Yeah, well, we sometimes hear the phraseology, people saying that big data is like land or oil or gold or some of those great magical commodities of the past. Is there a land grab going on now with the web users and then they are the real estate?
I think you could definitely say that there is. A lot of businesses are just out there scooping up however much data they can get their hands on. With new storage systems that we're seeing out there today, like Hadoop, and the overall cost of storage is plummeting. It's becoming a lot easier to just store massive amounts of data. And so if you can get some value from it, why wouldn't you collect it? But there is some pushback against that idea, and it's not all coming from privacy advocates. I spoke to some security experts who told me basically, yes, data has value and you can view it as an asset, but it also can carry some risk. Basically, there are some laws out there that restrict what type of information you can store, how you can store it, what you can do with it. Mainly the HIPAA law, which applies to health information, but there are a few others. And so if businesses are just scooping up whatever data they can get, they may inadvertently come across some of this protected data. And if they don't have proper privacy and security protocols in place, they can find themselves in some hot water.
Well, from your reporting, which I found quite compelling, there seems like there's a lot of people who've thought long and hard on this. And I was really surprised how many seem to have reached the conclusion that there is no such thing as a right to privacy. I think, well, that might be the case, but a lot of people might be surprised that that's the end game there.
Right, exactly. That's the conclusion that we've reached here in the United States. Over in Europe, they've reached a much different conclusion where they have decided that privacy is a human right, and they have very strong protections in place for the type of information that businesses can gather on their customers. We do have some people here in the U.S. who are trying to make that case. I spoke with Pam Dixon of the World Privacy Forum, and she didn't necessarily say that privacy should be a right that we need to stop all this data collection, but she did say that consumers should have some greater visibility into what type of data businesses are collecting on them and how it's being used. She brought up the fact that there's One of the main things that businesses are doing with data today is they're scoring customers, predicting who's going to be a profitable customer. And in some cases, that sort of process can work against the customer. And when customers have no idea what type of score is being used against them, it puts them at a pretty significant disadvantage in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know in recent years they've made available, people can kind of find out what their credit rating is, and maybe their data rating is on tap.
Yeah. Exactly. That's something that Dixon said could maybe be used as a model for more general data transparency rules.
Mm-hmm. As a backdrop to all this, in a fairly recent podcast, we talked about this, that the Obama administration has a type of data privacy initiative going on. It's somewhat riding on the coattails of the NSA Snowden review. Here, speaking in April, what's the latest on that?
Right. So they are in the middle of a 90-day review process. It should be wrapping up at the end of April. And so they've been holding forums and workshops across the country. There was one in UC Berkeley. There was one in MIT where they brought together some experts to discuss how the privacy implications of the collection of consumer data and the analysis of it. And from the portions of the events that I saw, it seemed like they mainly assembled people who were advocating for less privacy. It didn't seem to be very much of a balanced discussion where there were people saying that we needed more privacy. So I am a little skeptical about what's going to come from it in that regard. I don't think that I'm the only person who's skeptical about what's going to come out of this 90-day review process. I've seen a lot of people who have been floating the idea that this whole review of commercial applications of big data is just sort of a smokescreen to distract people from the NSA revelations that came out a few months back. And that may very well be the case, but at the same time, from the reporting I've done, there is very little discussion around commercial data collection. And so even if they are using this 90-day review process for their own political ends, I feel like it can't hurt to raise these issues.
Are there any signature events to date? I think a lot of times, unless there's some sort of critical inflection point, that things sort of carry on with their own momentum. I know you wrote about WhatsApp and its purchase by Facebook in some of your recent reporting. How does that play there?
Right. So that was one pretty big event around sort of highlighting the implications of big data and privacy. WhatsApp built a very large user base for itself, and it built that user base on the premise that it would not collect data from its users for the purposes of marketing and analytics. Fast forward a few months, and then it was purchased by Facebook, which I think we're all aware at this point does use user data for marketing purposes. And Facebook has said that they intend to use the data from the WhatsApp user base for similar marketing purposes. And so a lot of people have said that that's a violation of the WhatsApp users' privacy expectations. And there actually was a complaint filed with the Federal Trade Commission by the Electronic Privacy Information Center and the Center for Digital Democracy, claiming that this amounts to deceptive and unfair trade practices. And just a few months before that, there was the case that got a lot of publicity of Office Max sent out a mailer to an individual, and after the man's name, it put in parentheses, "daughter killed in car crash." So, I mean, obviously that was an element that they were using to feed into their models to decide who to send mailers to, but obviously it's inappropriate to plaster that information directly on the mailer. So, I mean, this is something that we're seeing is affecting people, and not always in positive ways. So I think you're right that, you know, these high profile examples that of what can happen when businesses don't pay very much attention to privacy, I think these examples do highlight the need to think a little bit more about this.
Well, I think you at Search Business Analytics, and for my part on Search Data Management, we have some enthusiasm for the subjects we cover. But as we note here, we always try to make sure it's not misplaced enthusiasm or over-exuberant, and look at the dark side of data, the bright side of data, too. This is Jack Vaughn, and I was glad to be with Ed Burns today on the Talking Data podcast. Thanks for being with us.